Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. Be a part of the radio program this AM. We would love to have you. The phone number.
The phone number.
Did you see the girl from North Carolina who had her answer to a question go viral? North Carolina is getting it absolutely handed to them by Clemson over the weekend. And while North Carolina is getting it handed to them by Clemson over the weekend, for some reason, ESPN decides now feels like a really good time to play clips from interviews we did about with North Carolina students about how this football season shaped up. It's like, oh, yeah, let's rub some dirt on that wound.
North Carolina is known for, I mean, it's hard. It's not Duke, but it's hard to get in there.
I've had some experience with them. North Carolina fans do care about football. They're a basketball school, but they care about football. So they were doing this interview. They were playing clips, and they brought on this young lady named Abby. And I'll see if I can find the clip of it. But they brought on this young lady named Abby. And they had asked her about the loss to TCU. Remember, like, North Carolina looked absolutely fantastic out of the gate on that first drive. And then they turned around and TCU ran them out of the building. And so they were asking about this, and they got this young lady named Abby, and she gave a quote where she was like, it was the most painful thing I have experienced at university, and I have failed a number of midterms. But what was great about it was she delivered it in such a radio announcer voice that immediately Instagram and Twitter were like, give this chick a microphone. Like, give this lady a microphone. She has absolutely got a voice. My favorite part about it was not just that this lady, who then went on Instagram, was like, I am a sports journalism major. Like, I am trying to get into this industry. And in what I think is a great moment, everybody on Twitter was like, absolutely, give this chick a mic. She's great. She had this. I can't do, like, her version of it, but it was the female version of, like, that classic sports announcer voice. You're like, damn, this chick's good. My favorite part about it was not just that social media ended up giving this young lady a massive boost to her career. My favorite part about it is when they decided to play that clip. North Carolina was Kate Clement had completed 90% of his passes in the first half. Like, they were getting rocked by Clemson, and they just drop on the Tar Heel fans' heads. I'm sure there weren't many of them watching still at that point, but they drop on the Tar Heel heads just these clips, like clip after clip after clip of of all these Carolina fans being like, yeah, we suck and I hate everything. Oh, just the absolute crushing of the spirit in that moment was just chef's kiss. Nice job. All right. It was fun is the point here.
All right. Okay. All right.
I enjoyed it as a bit of a, I don't know, sadist when it comes to college football.
So what you believe is there was a producer there who was being extremely sarcastic and said, you know what?
Now's the time.
This is when we should play this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
You could have done that pregame, and it would have been a great way to hype the game, right? Like Carolina fans with a chance to get right. North Carolina has an opportunity to take on the Clemson Tigers and to show the world, yes, takes us a little while to get out of the gate. Takes us a little while to get the Momo, but we're here and we're ready. And instead, old producer boy was like, no, 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 let's save that just in case. Because, hey, if North Carolina goes up some points and they go get Clemson, you know, you can go. Look at the turnaround. The North Carolina fans, they were ready to roll. But they waited until North Carolina was getting it absolutely pushed in to go, nah, now. Now, let's make them feel worse about themselves now.
Then that producer opens his jacket and there's orange and a tiger paw.
I don't know, man. I don't know who it was, but they made a call that was intentionally to hurt feelings. And I'm not going to lie, I'm a bad person. I laugh my ass off. Hey, it's 7:05 in the morning. You've got less than 55 minutes until you have to get to the office and begin killing time until Monday Night Football. We're here to help, Lonzo and I. We are. We want to make your life better. We want to help you kill that time. 8 or so hours of it at the office today. Don't worry. We know how it works. You talk sports. We know that, however, if you're going to talk sports, you got to know what's going on in the world of sports. And if you need to know what's going on in the world of sports, don't worry. That's how we make your life better. By doing this.
That doesn't work for me, brother.
Tis Indy, the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and begin talking sports this morning with your coworkers, your manager, your supervisor, your boss, your janitor, your IT guy, whoever you spend the morning talking sports with. This is what you'll be talking about. Allow us to begin, as usual, with item number one. The College Football AP Top 25 poll is out, ladies and gentlemen, and it felt like over the weekend, this was a shake it out kind of weekend. This was a weekend where the college football world began to see itself sort itself out. And I think the AP poll this week, much more reflective of the reality of the college football world in which we all currently reside. The Buckeyes of Ohio State maintain their stranglehold, baby, on the number one spot. 40 of the available 66 first place votes. Math is hard. That's why I'm a words guy. Go to the Ohio State Buckeyes. That is less than the 43 that they had last week. That is because a number of those were shuffled down to number two. The Hurricanes of Miami, after a road win in Tallahassee, a mostly dominant until they started playing some soft defense, and Florida State put some late points up on the board. I'm not going to say worthless because it really did come down to a couple of onside kick opportunities for FSU, but it was still a lottery pick that they would figure it out. Miami goes on the road to FSU, takes a victory away from a top 25 Florida State team. That earns them a handful of first place votes and enough points to barely counts, leapfrog the Oregon Ducks. Miami now number two with 21 first place votes. The remaining five do go to the Ducks of Oregon, now at number three. Miami now with three quality wins, because I did forget South Florida was ranked at the time. Three ranked wins for Miami moves them to number two. The Oregon Ducks got the win over the Nittany Lions of Penn State last weekend. They were idle this week, so they dropped back down to number three. Rounding out the top five, two more SEC teams, Ole Miss at number four, Texas A&M at number five as it stands right now. Another SEC team at number six, that would be Oklahoma. OU falls behind the Aggies of A&M. Both of them are 5-0. Indiana is at number seven, Alabama at 4-1 after their win over, yes, it is true, top 25 Vanderbilt, finds their way up to number eight. Texas Tech, the money machine, at number 9, one spot ahead of 4-1 Georgia, up two spots to 11 is LSU, up 3 spots to number 12, the University of Tennessee, very SEC heavy inside the top one dozen. Georgia Tech moves up to number 13, that is 4 spots elevated. Mizzou, 5 spots elevated to number 14, one ahead of number 15, Michigan. Notre Dame is at number 16, up 5 spots at 3-2, the first two-loss team, the highest-ranked two-loss team. There are two-loss teams that are currently ranked. Illinois is number 17 at 5-1. BYU, after their win on the weekend, on Thursday night over West Virginia, goes to 5-0 and number 18 at number 5. Virginia is at number 19, up 5 spots. Vanderbilt falls just 4 spots with the road loss to Vanderbilt, a quality loss in the enhanced metrics. They are now down to number 20. Arizona State moves up 4 spots to number 21. Iowa State takes their first L on the year. They are 5-1 at number 22. Memphis, a group of 5 representative, or at least a candidate for the playoffs, at undefeated 6-0. Unranked last week, 23. This week, South Florida reemerges inside of the top 25. They are 4-1. They're only lost to the aforementioned number 2 Miami Hurricanes. Florida State, after a home loss to Miami, a quality loss if you'll have it, falls down 7 spots to number 25. Cincinnati is number 26. Big win for the Bearcats over the weekend. They handed Iowa State their one loss on the season. Texas and Penn State, 27-28. They open the year inside the top 3. They close this week unranked entirely and just barely ahead of Utah, Nebraska, USC, UNLV, North Texas, TCU, Mississippi State, Washington, Navy, Louisville, and Auburn, all just receiving votes outside of the top 25. Let's get to item number 2. Yesterday was a wild day around the National Football League. You had the Vikings in a European game in London, got by the Browns, closer game than they would have liked, 21-17. Carson Wentz, 25 of 34, 236, and a touchdown. The Colts B-slap the Raiders yesterday, 40-6, your final. Geno Smith intercepted twice. Ashton Jante, a good day, but comes back down to earth a week after going 123 and a touch, 67 yards on 14 carries. The Saints, Spencer Rattler, 1-10. Rat Daddy season. Gets his first dub. They knock off the New York Giants 26-14. 5 turnovers for the New York Giants yesterday. Rat Daddy, 21 of 31, 225, and a touchdown. And that one, Raheed Shaheed, 4 catches, 114 yards, and a touchdown. The who Cowboys.
That? Who that said they're going to beat them Saints?
Not that one who team. That? Not that one team. Just that one team. Can't say it. Just that one team, though.
Well, the first step towards multiple victories is winning one.
The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step, said Confucius, and I believe it, Spencer. Rat Daddy Rattler, keep the Momo going, baby. We got this. 37-22, the Cowboys over the Jets yesterday. Justin Fields, 283 and 2 touchdowns through the air. The kid can ball a little bit. They just needed some help. Oh, and did not give Williams 16 carries for 135 yards and a touchdown. But, like, outside of that, pretty good day overall for Justin Fields. The Broncos hand the Eagles their first loss, 21-17. It looked like, by all accounts, when the Eagles were up 17-3, that ball game was over. But 18 unanswered points in the fourth quarter for Bo Nix yesterday. We are going to talk about that game later. Texans 44-10, they dominate. The Ravens are 1-4, just like we all predicted. The Ravens are 1-4. Unbelievable. Of course, they had 97 players in the hospital yesterday. Doesn't matter. C.J. Stroud went off 244 and 4 touchdown passes. Look, this is going to be wild because I do think the Ravens will get Lamar back. They will get healthy, and they're going to go on a run down the stretch, but too little too late at that point. The ambulance wins in that one, but it was a good showing for the Texans. If another team is banged up, take advantage, and they did.
I'm sure that hamstring is coming along good.
You think he would have sat out against the Texans for a fake injury? Against the Texans? I can see. I could give you he bounced up out of the game with the Chiefs faking it. He's not sitting out against the, at the time, 1-3 Texans.
I don't know. You look and go, wow, everybody's out. I got to do everything myself.
I think it's potentially haters, man. 22-21, the Titans. What the hell was that Titans-Cardinals game? I thought I was drunk as hell watching that game. I got Kyler Murray taking shotguns.
You?
No, I was not, actually.
Okay, all right. Yeah. It's a possibility.
The Saints won. I probably had an excuse to be. The Titans 22-21. I got Kyler Murray taking footballs to the face on bad snaps. I got a fumble and then a fumble and then a touchdown. Like my buddy Jonathan, who is a Titans fan, was texting me late in the afternoon, and he's like, I don't know what to do. I was like, I neither do the Cardinals. Center, I don't know.
The center forgot who he was hiking the ball
to. That was unbelievable.
I mean, he thought he was hiking it to a normal-sized quarterback, and instead.
He wasn't paying attention, but also maybe that. 38-35 bucks over the Seahawks. They are 4-1. Lions 37-24 over the Bengals. They are 4-1. The Bengals got to find a quarterback, dude. Like, but at the same time, it doesn't matter. Like I said, yeah, I told a buddy of mine yesterday who said they got to find somebody besides Jake Brown. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Behind that offensive line, you can put Tom Brady. It's not going to matter. 27-10, the Commanders dominate the Chargers. Just like that, the Chargers are 3-2, and now there are questions. But welcome back, the man, the myth, the legend, Jaden Daniels, 231 and a tutty on the day. And the Patriots go to Buffalo and knock off Josh Allen and the Bills last night. He loses a Josh Allen. Now he's just Josh Allen, Josh Allen, Josh Allen.
By the way, I watched first half last night. Second half this morning, and Collinsworth kept calling him Josh.
So yeah, I caught that too.
That might have been part of it. And those uniforms, no.
Oh, no. I disagree on that. I thought they were fresh.
They deserved to lose. Imagine being a spotter, though.
Oh, no, it was listen, as a play-by-play guy, absolutely miserable when you have white and silver letters. Miserable, but I thought they were dope.
You know what they did last night? They threw up the white flag and they surrendered.
I mean, maybe so. We're going to talk about that later. But the game we got to get to, 27-24, Carolina gets win numero dos, now 2-3 on the road over the Miami Dolphins. Bryce Young, efficient. Again, like, we are waiting for the explosive big yardage game, but I've also told you a lot of times, that's not Bryce Young's game. 19 of 31, 98, two touchdowns and a pick.
Yeah, finally, the play caller went, you know what, Bryce Young ain't going to do it. We should probably run the ball. You know what? How about we give the ball to Rico? Maybe that's what we should do. Let's see if that works. And then it did. And then throwing lanes starting to open up, and some things started, and the defense started playing better, all because they decided to hand the ball off
To get into this game in depth later, but I will go ahead and I don't think this is a spoiler alert, but Rico Dowdle, 23 carries, 206 yards, and a touchdown on the day, average 9 per carry. And oh, by the way, can we welcome Xavier Leggett back? Was that the game he needed to get right? 2 grabs, 31 yards, but he scored on a 24-yarder. That was a beaut of a tutty catch.
Not easy catches.
No, it was not. Neither was the one down the sideline. You are right. I hope that's the get right game. I hope that erased the mental block. We'll find out. We're going to talk about this game in depth later, but the Panthers do get the win on the road, 27-24. I don't know if you saw the clip of Mike McDaniels walking to the locker room after the game.
I did.
Oh. He's going to be an offensive coordinator next year, and I'm going to go ahead and call the shot. Here's the shot. Mike McDaniels gets fired today. He's gone today, all right? Take that bet if you can find it. Mike McDaniels will be an offensive coordinator for an NFL team next year, and they will have the number one ranked offense in the NFL.
Ooh, will they hire Nick Saban?
No. No. And also,
So he could right that wrong where he left? Why not?
Because I think Nick Saban is perfectly happy on the game day set. They had hoodie on for the on-the-field interview, and Bill was like, you know, I learned a lot from Nick Saban, and Nick Saban taught me a lot. And Nick Saban said, Bill, I never thought I'd say this, but you're full of... It was like, I love unhinged Nick Saban. I do. Couldn't stand him as a football coach. Nah, couldn't stand him. Couldn't stand that he beat my ass and everybody else's for that long. Love game day Nick Saban next to Pat McAfee. It's the best. All right, let's get to item number 3. Two games in the Major League Baseball postseason last night. One in the WNBA. WNBA game finals. Game number 2 also goes the way of the Aces. They are up 2-0, and I'm going to call it. I think they are sweeping the Phoenix Mercury. They are going back to Phoenix for game 3. This is a best of 7. Vegas up a pair. Part of that because Asia Wilson's a dog. 28 points, 14 rebounds in that one last night, accompanied with Jackie Young's 32-8 boards. The Vegas Aces are just too much for the Mercury. Satu Sabali had 22 points. Kalea Copper had 23. 10 for Alyssa Thomas out of Phoenix. But they ended up with 8 points off the bench last night, a bench that went 7 deep on the basketball court. They just don't have it to get by Las Vegas, so I think that's a sweep. Over to Major League Baseball, the Blue Jays dominate the Yankees yesterday, 13-7. The big story in this one, Max Fried, who was the best pitcher in baseball, not named Tarek Skubal this year. Did I say on the road at Miami? You're right. I am very sorry. It wasn't home. I've got a couple of games switched in my head. I'll explain that later. You are correct. My bad. Thanks for keeping me honest here. Max Fried, second best pitcher in the American League behind Tarek Skubal. 3 innings, 8 hits, 7 runs, all earned, struck out just 1, and was yanked after just 51 pitches. On the flip side, A young man by the name of Treya Savage got the pitch for the Toronto Blue Jays. A rook. He worked his way from the bottom of the Blue Jays organization all the way up to getting a start in the postseason last night for the Jays. Check out the stat line. 5.1, zero hits, zero earned runs, one walk, 11 strikeouts for Treya Savage last night. The Jays had five dongs, including a Vladdy Guerrero Jr. granny in the fourth inning that broke it open. Over in the other AL game, Seattle leveled their series with Detroit at one apiece with a 3-2 win last night. Luis Castillo did not get credited for the win. 4.2, one hit, no runs, K'd three. On the flip side, Tarek Skubal, good performance. Seven innings, five hits, two runs allowed, K'd nine, but he did give up a pair of dongs to Jorge Polanco, who was the hero last night. Seattle draws level with Detroit in the best of 5-2. This series flips back to Detroit for the next one. There's your cheat sheet, top three sports stories you need to know when we come back. Let's talk about the two wins that mattered this weekend. We'll start with the get-right game of the Carolina Panthers against the Miami Dolphins at home. Thank you, Texter. And then we'll talk about Clemson's win on the road at North Carolina to wrap up. This hour, John Blau will join us 1 hour from then to talk about the win yesterday and getting ready for BC this week for the Tigers. All that more coming up as we roll on. We, because I am Rob Brown and he is Lonzo, and you are amazing. Thanks for being here. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Panthers at the crib yesterday get a win over the Miami Dolphins. It was in doubt for a good chunk of the game. And then a young man by the name Rico Dowdle decided, nah, I got this. Just as the old expression goes, give me the damn ball. Rico Dowdle, 24 totes, 206 yards. And a touchdown for Carolina yesterday. Through the air, Bryce Young, 19 of 30, 198, a pair of touchdowns and a pick. Tet McMillan, 6 grabs, 73 yards. Xavier Leggett had a couple of snags for 31 yards and a touchdown. Rico also had 3 grabs for 28 yards. Jimmy Horn Jr. saw his first action on the roster, 2 snags for 21. Now, I would like to start with what I thought was the best part of this entire game. I have to acknowledge that I did not start in love with Eric Collins, the Hornets radio announcer, who got his first opportunity to call an NFL game. Early in the game, I was like, dog, relax. Like, you're too excitable, even for me. And then by the end of the third quarter, I'm like, let this guy call every game. This guy might be new Gus Johnson. I pulled some of my favorite moments from that game.
All right, here's the thing.
Dado!
No. There's a competition going on between him and Pelagic. That's got to be what it is. They're in the same town. There are a lot of Will Pelagic-like things in those clips.
Listen, the energy was the same. We all know Willie P's got it locked down on. But that man had his voice crack in Daddle. Willie P has his voice crack for a paragraph.
So you don't hear the similarities?
No, I don't. Because Willie P comes up and it is real business. I take that message? This guy hit a down owl on the sideline.
I think that's Will Pelagic with a mustache on pretending to be somebody else.
Eric Collins is the play-by-play announcer for the Charlotte Hornets. And last week when we found out he was going to get his NFL debut calling the Panthers game, I was like, all right, because again, I listen to a lot of NBA play-by-play. A lot of most NBA games are unavailable even if you find access to alternative means of viewership outside of market.
No, they don't. There's no such thing like that.
I know. It is a wee bit shocking. But this cat is electric on the call. And again, I do think there is some importance on being electric in the call when you were the play-by-play guy of a not very good team. Because you've got to give people a reason to want to tune in, even if it's to hear you get geeked about a three that in the length of the season doesn't matter. But I was like, all right, this isn't calling it for Carolina. This is an NFL game. This is, you've got to be down the middle on bias. And he was giving it for both teams. I started it like, dude, you're not Gus Johnson. Relax. And then as the game went on, I progressively found myself like, all right, I'm kind of feeling the juice now. I'm kind of feeling the vibe. James says Hornets fans already knew about Eric Collins' greatness. I got to tell you, he won me over because I do like a play-by-play guy who loves the game, who is energetic about the game, who is feeling the vibes of the game. And I thought it was a bit over the top at first, but the longer the game went on, the more I'm like, no, this guy, like, this is actually this guy. You can tell, I think, when a play-by-play guy trying to bring electricity is being inauthentic. Disingenuous by it. Like, it's not real. I'm not really excited about this. I'm just trying to sound like I am. Versus Eric Collins, who was off his rocker yesterday, and he won me over the course of the game. All right, let's talk about the actual game itself for just a couple of minutes. We're going to talk about Clemson's win over North Carolina in the next segment. Bryce Young, a turnover through the air, a turnover on the ground. Also had a fumble. Again, I would make the point that twofold about Bryce Young, as he is always going to be topic number one when you talk about the Panthers.
So I started watching this game a little bit late, had it on DVR, was watching, was like, oh no. And then the DVR froze, and I could not get it to work. It's like, okay, I'm not going to get to watch this game. And then later on, my wife was yelled from the living room, I can't believe they just won this game. I'm like, who just won what game? And she said, the Panthers. And I'm like, no. And then finally, the DVR works like at around 5 p.m., and I was able to go back and watch the entire game. A couple bad series, and then after that, like I was saying earlier, they decided, you know what, we need to go away from Bryce. Let's just run the ball, and then that's all they did for a while, and then Bryce started playing better.
So the conversation about Bryce Young, in my opinion, goes twofold. Part of what Lonzo just brought up, and that is the fact that this is not a dude, and I would want to clarify that this is not a bad thing, because I think this is true about a vast majority of quarterbacks in the NFL. There are very few quarterbacks all time that you can say, even if there is no run game available, they can still go get it done in the air and win you a game. There's just not a lot of them. The list is well short, and most of the guys that are on that list, they're the Breezes and the Bradys of the world.
I was going to say, and the other ones who aren't, they are the run game. I mean, those are quarterbacks that can just take off and do the running themselves.
Sure, guys like Lamar. Like, it's not an extensive list. Bryce Young is slippery, but he's not Lamar. He's a guy that can avoid sacks, but he's not going to turn almost sacks into 30-yard gains very often.
That the sack fumble was embarrassing. That was, I was like, oh no, here we go. 2 weeks in a row like that. I mean, I know that's a big dude. I mean, it's just like, hang on to the ball. Come on.
So the first part about that is the run game you brought up. The second thing I would point out, and I'm going to do this tomorrow because it's happened the last three of the last 4 weeks, because it wasn't a problem in the Miami or in the Atlanta game, but it's been a problem in every other game. There were on at least three different plays that I remember. Bryce Young sacked three times for 19 yards, loss in this game. And by the way, if this matters anything to you, Bryce Young finished this game with a QB rating of 90.7. It's his highest on the season. A QB rating, as opposed to a QBR, a QB rating only takes into consideration what the guy did when he had the opportunity to throw the ball. A QBR takes into consideration every play, including when you get sacked, when you get drenched, or whatever. That's why the QBR, that's why he can have a QBR of 38, but a rating of 90. That's a huge difference. When Bryce Young has the opportunity to stand in a pocket and deliver a football, the QB rating is 90. When he's getting hassled and harassed, as he has too many times, it's a 38. So I noticed this last game against New England. There was a play where Bryce Young was in the pocket, takes the snap, and within 2 seconds, we have talked about quarterback time to release, time before pressure. Bryce Young has one of the lowest time to pressure ratings in the NFL. That's not on him. That's on the O-line. There was a play last week, and this had me paying attention to it against Miami yesterday, where Bryce Young took a lot of crap for sprinting out of the pocket and trying to, on the run, on a throw to the right, effectively underthrew a covered-up tight end. And I went back and I watched that play on Instagram because, they'll post highlights up there. But I went back and I watched that play, and I'm like, you guys are missing something here. By the time that Bryce Young gets the snap, takes a three-step drop, and sets the back foot, he has nowhere to go. The right defensive end has set the edge. The left defensive end has set the edge. The defensive tackle has worked through a double team and is Bryce's face. There is nowhere for him to go. And he ends up, it was a play that. And I showed it to a friend of mine yesterday to say, am I crazy? There were like 8 of us watching football together yesterday. I said, am I crazy? That to me, even though it's an incomplete pass and people are hitting Bryce Young for this being a bad throw, is it crazy to me that this is actually a stellar play for this guy just to get the hell out of a pocket that didn't exist less than 2 seconds after he got the football? The answer is yes. The answer is unequivocally yes. And that happened quite a bit yesterday. This is why two things have to happen. Number one, you need more games like this out of Rico Dowdle. Chuba Hubbard unavailable to play. That's why Rico got the snaps and he took advantage of it. And number two, you have got to shorten up the pass schematics for Bryce Young. Like, you're going to have a guy run the stretch. You're going to have a guy run the nine. Bring up Jimmy Horn when Jalen Coker comes back. Have him run the nine. That's all well and good. But what I saw yesterday was, in a lot of the passing attack, let's just keep it short and underneath and let them convert. And let's let the run game carry. That's why this team got the win yesterday. They didn't do it last week against New England. That's why they took the L. Now we'll see if they run it back the next time out. We'll talk more about this, but when we come back, let's talk about the Clemson win over Carolina. That's next on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We talked last night about, last week. I talked about a lot of stuff last night. We talked last week about Clemson needing to take advantage of what I considered a get right game. We talked last night about the need for Clemson on the road against a, in my ever so humble yet, now I think widely accepted belief, bad North Carolina football team. Clemson does exactly what they need to do. They go on the road. They take advantage of a bad North Carolina football team. They win 38-10. Cade Klubnik looked much more like the Cade Klubnik we expected in this game. 22 of 24, 254 yards, 4 touchdowns against the bad team. In fact, we got some Christopher Vezina late in the game, 6 of 11, 39 yards in that game. Not a lot going on in the run game for Clemson. And I will say, that is if I had to be critical and say there is a disappointment for me, my disappointment would be that Clemson did not try to get the run game going. Now, in fairness, they ran the ball 31 times. They threw it 39. It's about the balance that we expected out of this offense with Cade Klubnik playing the style of football that we were all told Cade Klubnik was going to play, be a Heisman finalist. Again, against the bad North Carolina team on the road, that's what he looked like this weekend. So you got about the balance you expected, about 60-40, 65-35 to the pass game when you have guys catching the football. TJ Moore, 5 grabs, 108 yards and a touchdown. Adam Randall did have 4 grabs for 73 yards and a pair of tutties. Christian Bentecor had 2 grabs, 53, and scored on both of those receptions. I would have liked to see, especially late in the game, a little bit more of a focus on let's make sure that we are able to pound the rock. Because the fear that I have is that when you get a little bit deeper into the schedule, and again, I am talking about in 3 games when you have Florida State coming to the crib, probably not the dominant team that a lot of people thought they were through the first 3 weeks of the season, still a pretty good football team. Not bad, not good, just pretty good. Again, Louisville, Miller Moss is getting to the point where he's getting 350 and 3 or 4 touchdowns a game. Louisville's going to want to air it out. How do you beat Miller Moss? Keep his ass on the bench. And then, of course, at South Carolina, which we'll find out if the game against Kentucky and the win at home was enough to put a little bit of a spark. Did they see enough out of the running of the Sellers that South Carolina's offense evolves? We'll see. Whatever way you want to look at it, the reason that SMU is a threat in 2 weeks, because Kevin Jennings looked like Kevin Jennings this weekend. The reason that if you think that, again, Duke unfortunately is not the team that I thought they were. I am leaning towards the reality being Mike Elko's dudes left behind for Manny Diaz are the reason that the Duke Blue Devils were good last year, but they have lost 2 games. One was to number 11 Illinois, who did get hammered by Indiana, but they've turned around and won twice since then, are now climbing back into the upper echelon of the top 25, and they took the loss to a pretty good Tulane team. And we talked about that Tulane team. Like, that was a close game to a good, not Power 4 good, but as G5 teams go, towards the top of that list. It's not a bad Duke team, but why is Duke good? Duke is good because of Darry Mensah, because of their quarterback. Why is Florida State Florida State? It's because Thomas Castellanos, the transfer from Boston College, kind of started being a dude for that team. The point here is, and then of course, South Carolina at the end of the year, Lenora Sellers. All of the teams that remain threats for the Clemson Tigers are all threats because of their quarterbacks, man. So, how do you beat quarterbacks like that? You keep them on the bench. How do you keep them on the bench? Long possessions, run the football. Now, if Clemson's going to come out and have Cade Klubnik go 22 of 24 for 254 against better defenses than North Carolina, sure. Then at that point, you go, okay, maybe Clemson is who we thought they were, and they just had a garbage start to the season. That's a possibility. But, again, the Rob Brown philosophy is, what do you show me on tape? And right now, I have a good Cade Klubnik game against a really bad North Carolina football team. So I'm not at the point where I'm ready to say, now we see the Cade Klubnik that we expected. Now we see Heisman finalist Cade Klubnik. It just came, unfortunately, too late in the season. Now, if he goes on the road to Boston College and he goes 22 of 24 for 254 and 4 touchdowns, now there's 2 games on tape. We're feeling a little bit better, but they are against, again, 2 bad teams.
All right. It was very embarrassing about how bad North Carolina's defense was.
They're awful.
I mean, it was so ugly. To the point where I watched like the first quarter and a half is like, I can't watch any more of this because of how bad North Carolina was playing. I mean, I'm okay with watching. Clemson was taking what they were given and they looked good. But against that's got to be embarrassing for Belichick.
I bring up on this show because nuance and context matter. I think there are too many people in the upper echelon of sports broadcasting who shun nuance and context in the name of viral videos. And that's just not me. Nuance matters. So you know that I believe in the sliding scale of truth, where the extremes on both ends are the extremes on both ends, and the truth of whatever it is that we are talking about resides somewhere in the middle. So the sliding scale for truth in this game, on one extreme is Clemson's back, and on the other side is the extreme of North Carolina is awful. It's just a bad football team. And we don't, I mean, we can later to get into the reasons why it's a bad football team.
Normally I would say it's somewhere in between, but I'm just leaning towards North Carolina being that bad.
So on the sliding scale of truth, with on one end, Clemson is back, and on the other end, UNC is bad, where do we stick the needle? Right? That's the big thing in sports broadcasting. We're all about moving the needle. Where's the needle? Is the needle Clemson's back? Kate Klubnik finally hit his groove. The offense clicked. They're going to be good. Or is the needle, dude, this Belichick experience is exactly what I thought it was going to be. An absolute garbage decision to hire Bill Belichick. On the sliding scale of truth, I have pinned it somewhere about 35% Clemson's back, 65% North Carolina's hot garbage. Because, and I've evaluated this, North Carolina is hot garbage. It's bad. It's a bad football team. There's no way to shake it up. I was very happy, although terrified, that Max Johnson was able to get back out there and start. You'll remember Max Johnson took that grotesque broken leg last year.
I mean, the whole time they're talking about.
They kept showing the scar.
And then they're talking about the leg, and I'm thinking, oh, man, someone's going to run into him.
Yeah.
So, and that's going to be it.
It was a fearful watch for me every time Max Johnson takes to the field. I get it. I understand it. I am not anyone who has the power to say, hey, maybe don't play, but it was still brutal to watch.
I mean, shout out to him for coming back from that gruesome injury and still wanting to play. But
yeah, me too, because I got to tell you, I don't think I'd ever get out of a wheelchair. I just live in bed now. Just bring me everything I need. I'm never leaving the bed. Good for him for playing, whatever. Point is, the team is bad. On the flip side, I do think there are some signs that are encouraging for Clemson. I think that the passing offense took advantage of an atrocious set of North Carolina defensive backs. An atrocious set who were playing atrocious football. Out of position, couldn't tackle, were just letting guys run free. But again, a good football team takes advantage of that. And Clemson took advantage of that. I thought that, again, I would have liked to have seen, specifically late in the game, an emphasis on let's lean on the run. Let's get the run game comfortable. Let's make sure that when we get down the road a bit and we've got Kevin Jennings, followed by Mensah, followed by Castellanos, followed by Moss, followed by Sellers. I mean, that's a pretty tough row of quarterbacks in that spot. Let's make sure our run game is ready, because to beat any or all of them, you will need to keep their asses on the sideline. You will need to win the game by running the ball and making sure that their offenses can't come out and score. I'm not saying you don't let Cade throw it. I'm just saying you've got to be able to run the ball, and it did not look like they had the ability to run the ball anywhere near well enough to make me believe that they will run the ball against Florida State. I think maybe against SMU to some degree, because they're not a great defensive line front seven team. They are carried as they were last year by Kevin Jennings in the offense being able to outscore most teams. But against a team like Florida State with a good defensive line, against a team like Louisville, not a great defensive line, but a team that they can score almost at will for, you know, again, Miller Moss going for 350 a game the last few weeks. You've got to keep them on the sideline. I did not see anything in that game that leads me to believe that Clemson figured out the run. It seems to me like, and this is okay for that game, though I will need to see it changed and utilized. Like, this game against Boston College becomes an opportunity. We've now seen Cade do it. And again, I think you let him throw it 25 to 30 times in this game, but I need those numbers to flip. I need 39 runs to 30 passes, 40 runs to 27 passes, not the other way around against BC. And even if it is uncomfortable against Boston College for longer than you'd like it to be, I think you need to get all the XP grinding the football as you can get, because it will become progressively more important as you head down the stretch. And while, again, the numbers were fine through the air, they were not on the ground against an overmatched Carolina defense. So this is why I say, on the sliding scale of truth, this was the best that we have seen Clemson look so far this season, obviously. It is not even close to the best that we have seen Cade Klubnik. It is not even close to the best that we have seen the wide receiver core. Like, everything worked through the air. Defensively, again, this North Carolina offense is atrocious. It's atrocious. Defensively, you were fine. You did exactly what you were supposed to do. You held them to a field goal in the first three quarters. You let your backups let them get a late garbage time touchdown that didn't matter. It was fine defensively. Will that defense, and again, just like I've said with the offense, run the ball a bunch against, run it 40 times against Boston College and let your offensive line, let your running backs get comfortable. Get comfortable, because you will need it. On the flip side, defensively, I think you did what you needed to do against a good team. But now, on, well, actually Monday, we go back to the word that was the word of the day, Pee Wee Herman style, last week on the show. Consistency. Can you come back against a bad Boston College team and do the same thing? Can you have Cade Klubnik go out there and complete 90% in his first half? Can you have him go 22 of 24 on the day, get to 254? This is a 1-4, 0-3 in conference Boston College team with losses to Michigan State, to Stanford, to Cal, and to Pitt. That's the bottom of the ACC. They have lost to everyone in the bottom of the ACC. Can you come out, take advantage of a game, even if, and this is the thing I would say to Clemson fans, you might look like you're a little lost early in this game. It might look like this is a more closely contested first half than it should be. That is fair and fine if Clemson runs the ball 15, 20% more than they throw the ball, as I think you should. Consistency. Can you take the things that went well, Klubnik, the wide receiver core, a defense doing what they needed to do, and carry that next week while also recognizing the spots you came up short, predominantly in the run game, and working on those? This is an exhibition game for you. It's a practice game. Your second team should be able to beat Boston College. So run the ball, get the XP, and feel better. I'm happy with what happened. I'm going to say, on the sliding scale of truth, about 35%, this is the Clemson we expected. About 65%, North Carolina's hot garbage. Spartanburg J texts the show. He said, Clemson is not back. Stop it. UNC is one of the worst Power Four teams. I don't disagree. That's why it's 65-35. But it's an opportunity to build consistency this week against BC. We'll talk with John Blau in less than an hour about this when we come back. Audio blitz. We'll talk some NFL ball. We'll get some baseball later in the show. All of that after Lonzo gives you an all-star sports flash.
There was a winner from North Carolina, and it was the Carolina Panthers, who got win number two with a 27-24 defeat of the Miami Dolphins. Former Gamecock Rico Dowdle showed out, carrying 23 times for 206 yards and a touchdown and three grabs for 28 yards. Bryce Young completed 19 of 30 passes for 198 yards and a pair of touchdowns with one pick and a fumble. Carolina is back home this week, hosting Dallas on Sunday. The AP Top 25 is out with some dramatic changes. Ohio State remains number one. Miami moves to number two ahead of Oregon. Ole Miss stays at four, while Texas A&M cracks the top five for the first time. Oklahoma is number six. Indiana moves up to seven ahead of Alabama, Texas Tech, and Georgia. Another road course, another win for Shane Van Gisbergen, who claimed the checkered flag at Charlotte's Roval course yesterday. The win is his fifth consecutive on road or street courses. That's pretty good.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.